Was there a delay or is that you?
No, it's probably just me. Just looking at everything, making sure it's all.
Now you just get head on a swivel, right?
I feel like it must be sometimes like if everything isn't perfectly plugged into the adapter that's coming from my computer to the microphone that I'm using. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the X factor.
That's why you go Occam's razor, man. Fewer points of contact. It's fewer places to break down.
But it was, I remember we were having problems with my other microphone and then I went to this one. Or it wasn't working. Like it wasn't the audio.
Yeah, no, we weren't having the problem.
Oh, my problem. Yeah.
Well, I think the listeners were technically having the problem.
Yeah, I'm fine, by the way.
Yeah, we're fine. I can hear us. We can. My half is recording it.
And in my head, I always sound velvety smooth.
Blam. Well, let's do it. Let's do a show then.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 498B of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, straight from rehearsal. I get better every time I do the same episode over again.
498B because we've already recorded the first 10 minutes of, sort of. Like, you did record it just didn't actually get any audio in.
Yeah, yeah. And to be honest, it wasn't that good. I don't think the listeners were missing anything. So we've really sorted out the kinks. I feel like we should have a run through every week because the content quality would really, really go up.
You should do a run through on your own on the car ride home.
Sure.
Yeah. Ahead of time. And then just we'll go from there. I'll shoot my rehearsal.
I know all of the things in the first 10 minutes that I don't need to bring up because even without an audience, I felt like it went over like a lead balloon.
The I don't know, your daughter appreciating the Shania Twain talk, the Timmons chatter was pretty funny.
Oh, that's true. Let's bring that up. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me what happened there. Your daughter listened to last week's show?
Yeah. So
wife in the car?
Yeah, because they were on their way to Costco, I think, and my daughter said, "Hey, can we listen to the podcast?" You know, so once in a while, she likes to listen to the podcast in the car, and yeah,
it's because she gets name checked. That's why.
Yeah, she's hoping that she's going to get mentioned. That's her small slice of fame, and so she was listening for her own mentions, which I don't think she got, but she really enjoyed the SWAT team in Timmins reference that you made. She thought that was quite funny. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I looked it up after, and because I was really sort of just talking at the time, and it turns out Shania Twain did in fact grow up in Timmins, Ontario.
Right. So that was a really nice pull because I don't think a lot of people know that kind of Shania Twain trivia.
I don't know why I do. I'm going to tell you it was probably mentioned on Coach's Corner in 1991 or something. Like it's something stupid like that.
Don't try to turn this into your sporting knowledge equals your Shania Twain knowledge.
No. Oh, no. Would you rather I know Shania Twain's hometown or Corey Haim's hometown? what would be creepier?
I'm pretty sure that Corey Haim went to the same elementary school that I did. Like, that's a weird one. Now I have to look that up. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In Thornhill, Ontario. Like, and now I have to check. I'm pretty sure that he was...
But you're
was
not the same age, right?
No. He would have been there probably, I'm going to say, 8 to 10 years before me.
No, not that. Like, I don't think he's much older than... He's obviously no longer with us, but... I don't think he's much older than you. He's probably like a couple years older than me.
But only. I don't think he went all the way through and graduated. Like, he was a star, I think, by the time...
I'm sure he dropped out in grade 5.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Like,
the dude was in Lucas.
Yeah. But I now have to check how old he is. So...
I'm going to say born in 1970.
Yeah, so I'm born late. I'm born later than that. So he's got to be.
But not 10 years. You said 10 years, didn't you?
So maybe we're talking like maybe he's 3 to 6 years older than me. But okay. he wasn't at
Deck
23,
1971.
Yeah, so he's older than me. But yeah. So he wouldn't have been at the same elementary school at the same time is what I'm saying. So he preceded right. me. But I'm pretty sure it was Corey Haim. It was someone of like, who is his little rat pack?
Just Corey Feldman, I think, was it. The two of them.
Yeah, I don't think I'm pretty sure it wasn't Feldman. I'm pretty sure it's Haim. Now, I'll look it up. I'll confirm for next week.
There's no way Corey Feldman was Canadian.
No, I don't believe so. And I don't know, was
Thornhill, Corey... he attended school in Thornhill and North York.
Who did?
Corey Haim.
So did I. I am right about that.
Yeah, but if I Google what elementary school you went to, my computer will just say, who are you talking about?
Well, can't you find what elementary schools that Corey Haim went to?
It just says right now. It says several schools in both Thornhill and North York.
Wow, they won't even tell you which schools in Thornhill.
Well, I'm not digging that deep. I'm sure if I found it, like okay. Hey, listeners, just everybody hang tight. I'm gonna dig deep.
We need to know.
I'm gonna dig deep into his Wikipedia. But
what are the odds? What are the odds? I just pulled Thornhill of all the places. Fine. I'm right, fine. Right?
Let's get it. Haim was born in Toronto, Ontario, the son of Judy and Bernie. Okay. He has an older sister. Haim was Jewish. That they had to point that out.
Sure.
He was first raised in, I can't say that, Comédie, Laval, Quebec.
Okay.
And later grew up in Willowdale, Ontario.
Willowdale.
Willowdale / Toronto, it says.
Okay, all right. That's a little suburb, yeah.
And then he was scouted. He's scouted for the AA Thunderbirds hockey team. I don't know if he ever scouted for AA, but all right.
Did they really say that?
Yeah.
AA skills. That's like minor hockey. Yeah.
He played competitive ice hockey, and then his skills led to him being scouted for the AA Thunderbirds hockey team. Which that doesn't sound like a thing. That sounds like a fan wrote that in.
Hey, just FYI, I played for the Thunderbirds AAA. That's better than AA. One more A. For years and years. Though I'm just saying, there's a lot of overlap here. Like basically, you know, like I might be Corey Haim's stunt double. Like may or may not be.
Right. Right.
same life. Yeah.
Yeah. Were you in License to Drive with an 18-year-old, what's her name?
Oh, was it Elizabeth Shue or someone like
that? No, come on. I would know that. Roller Girl. No, it's, what's her
name? Oh, Heather, no.
Heather Graham.
It was?
It was Heather Graham.
Oh, wow.
License to Drive. Horrible movie. Peak Heather Graham. Not peak Heather Graham. Peak Heather Graham, because this is taking a weird turn now. We should go back and try to record that first 10 minutes of the last episode.
But
that was better.
But just so you know, everybody, Corey Haim, Thornhill, Ontario. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, alumni. Yeah. You guys are alumni. I think it worked out better for you, though.
Yeah.
If I'm going to say, because he died at age 38 and you did not.
No, I'm still running here.
Amazon, if you want to buy License to Drive, a movie I'll highly recommend. It's a pretty funny movie from 1988. Buy it on Amazon, click through our site, help us out. I bought something today for the first time in multiple weeks on Amazon. Now I told you last time, so now you'll know what it is. I bought a micro jig gripper for my table saw.
Everybody needs one of those.
As I mentioned, I tried to buy the saw stop, the crazy expensive saw that will not cut you. Right. But they're not for sale in Germany and or Europe at all, I don't think. And so that's kind of a problem. And maybe one day when they are, I'll upgrade. I'll sell my current table saw and buy something like that because I really kind of want one.
Okay.
But until then, I you know want to be safe and keep my hands, my fingers out of that blade because I wouldn't say I've had a close call, but there's a few cuts I've made where afterwards I thought, yeah, that could have gone sideways quickly. Like cutting a 45, like cutting a bevel on a big piece of wood. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling safe on this. There's some real, real opportunity for kickback here. And as you know, Adam, that's mostly where you lose a finger is on kickback because it happens very quickly. And yeah, it's very rare that you just hammer your fingers into the saw on your own. Right. I mean, it does happen, but rare. Usually it's when a piece gets caught and twists and then kicks back and pulls your fingers into the blade.
Yeah, so I'm glad you got that sorted.
Yeah, so it's going to show up tomorrow or Saturday or whatever. So I'll be not using my table saw till that shows up. Anyway, click through our site. And now I got that note from one of our other. I've talked to multiple listeners about woodworking now. Joe for quite a bit. Sean, who at the beginning kind of told me which saws to buy and does great work, as does Joe. And then Scott. Listener Scott got involved and said he bought a bunch of stuff. Like he said he was sort of inspired by me talking about it, but also was also obviously going down that path anyway. But bought a bunch of equipment, bought a bunch of power tools, and clicked through our site. And he recommended the micro jig. So it's something I'd known about. And once he said he had one, I thought, you know what? Bad karma if I don't get one.
Yeah, good call.
All right, what's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
Same old, same old. It's gotten a little nicer, so there's that sunshine. How was the
being out in the public?
Being out in the public. What do you mean?
Well,
oh, the pandemic corona side of things. Yeah. I think we've beat this one to death, haven't we? It's
things are different now. Aren't you guys out and about?
I'd say we're still behaving in the same way we have been for the last number of weeks. So. Okay. No major changes. Everyone's kind of keeping their distance. I mean, masks pretty much become the norm anytime you go inside. I'd say the vast majority. Now, it's not mandated here. I know in a lot of provinces, you know, they have a mandate that you have no choice. Like you will receive an automatic fine if you're not mm-hmm. wearing a mask. As it is here, it's just strongly recommended. But I'd say where I am anyways, you know, in Richmond, close to Vancouver, everybody's kind of doing that inside. So, and if
why
it's,
wouldn't
and,
you?
Yeah. So it's just become the norm and everyone's kind of keeping their space. But outside, you know, people are doing activities and, you know, like I said before, like there's some baseball activities, albeit everything's a little different. They are organizing soccer, and my son had, you know, 4-on-4 hockey last week. So there's more things happening for kids, and swimming pools have started to open, rec centers, that stuff. But
like the outdoor pools, you mean?
Yeah, all under like different guidelines, and you have to book everything in advance to ensure, you know, that there's only a limited number. But at least there are right. activities for the summer. I know camps are going in again a different capacity, but there is lots of things to do.
What do you call it? A mask? We call it something because Mundschutz in German. So that's why it's mouth cover. But the masks is funny to me because I actually don't know if they're technically mandated here. I think every store, like I've worn one in a grocery store or wherever else inside for months now. Like it's just automatic, right?
Right.
And so I think they're mandated. I don't know if they're allowed. Whatever. Not the point. The point is, one of the things I want to talk about living in Germany that I like, because I make fun of the Germans in Germany, and as you should make fun of them. But one of the things that I absolutely love about living here is the sense of personal responsibility. They tell you wear a mask. It help. It's more so for everybody else. But you sort of have the responsibility of keeping everybody else healthy. That's kind of the
right.
the message here. And people take that, for the most part, they take it to heart. Now, I've seen some people in certain countries near you that really, really push back on this. And, you know, like I've seen the Karen videos of you know, I have the right to not do this. And that's great. Good for you. We're all proud of you. But you don't get that in Germany. That's not a thing. And I don't think in Canada either. But I took a photo. Now, if you want to look, there's a photo I put in there of like a stone wall. Do you see it?
No.
Keep going down. There's a sign that says Baden im Neckar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Okay, so this is, we went to, I'll talk about this in a sec, but we went to the outdoor, the Freibads are opening up again here. We went to one that I'd never been to before in a town called Rotenburg am Neckar. Neckar is the river that you see in that picture. Mm-hmm. And so the Freibad, the outdoor pool, backs up. The whole area is right next to the Neckar River. And so there's a whole like a big grass area where all the kids play and there's, you know, sun tanning and whatever. And right there's that stone wall, which is probably a meter or 3 feet high.
Okay.
Meaning my kids can climb up on it. And it's maybe half a meter, you know, foot and a half wide, like thick.
Right.
So not tremendously a big wall. Well, right on the other side of that is the Neckar River. Like there's no bank or anything. The water literally runs against that stone wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only protection they have, is that sign saying bathing in the Neckar is forbidden. That's it. There's no giant fence. There's no razor wire. There's no cameras, nothing. They just tell you, hey, seriously, don't do it. And if you do and get hurt, we put the sign up, so you're on your own.
Right.
But I love it. I love the sense of, here, we're telling you, you're personally responsible to not do this. Govern yourself accordingly.
Right.
How many people did you see in the river there?
I don't see any.
Not a one. So I do appreciate the sense of responsibility trumps, for lack of a better word, rights here. They don't worry about their rights. It's more responsibility, and hence the pools are open, I guess. So anyway, there's that.
Okay.
So the pools are open here. So we actually went twice. We were told this Freibad in Rotenburg was a little bit lax, not lax on the rules, but a little different rules, which made it a little easier with kids. And so we went there for the first time, and it was really great. I mean, they're allowed like 125 people per hour. You have to sign up ahead of time via an app and pay, or no, you pay when you get there, but you have to sign up. So they know they do track you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a privacy issue, well, you know, tough break, but they want to know, like, if there's an outbreak or if someone phones in and says, hey, look, I ended up getting sick, they will contact every single person at the pool that day and let them know. And that's kind of what's going on here.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. And that way we can throw a net over it. You know, if any outbreaks happen, they can do that. So they do that. And they also give you a wristband because they limit the number of people in the pool at one time. So they give you a colored wristband, one of four. They split the pool up into 15-minute quarters, and basically, so like we had the red wristband. You get to go in from like 3 to 3:15, 4 to 4, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except there weren't that many people there, so it was just wide open. They said, just don't worry about it. If it gets crowded, then we will, you know, implement this. But for now, just go nuts.
Gotcha.
And it was fine. And then we went to the Tübingen pool a few days later. We thought we'd try that, and different set of rules. But that was a weird one. I mean, everything's fine. There's nothing wrong. It was very, very responsible. But because it's kind of my home pool, I like generally by this time of the year, I've been every single day for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3 months. And like at least once a day, usually twice because I take the kids, etc. And so it's weird seeing my kind of home pool be, you know, on this modified rules. It's a little strange. But we're getting there, you know.
It's that, or nothing, man. Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, I kind of accepted it. It's like, all right, it is that or nothing. But went to baseball 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
I say 2 nights ago, but my legs are still killing me. So yeah, it's been 2 days.
Was that your first time? Like, participating? Yeah.
Yeah, first time since October. So went out, played an inter squad game. I hadn't missed baseball until we played the inter squad game, and then I was like, oh yeah, I love this game. Like, what am I doing? I really need to be out here. So that was nice.
Okay.
Before that, my son, he went out and played his first practice with the under 12 team that we have
for soccer.
For baseball.
Oh, for baseball. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he plays T-ball, which T-ball is 6 to 8, and then the next level up is 9 to 12, which is, it's kind of a big age group.
Okay.
But Germany, we don't have the numbers.
Yeah, not enough kids, right?
Nah. So they just basically do that like from 9 to 12, and so he wanted to go out. I said, well, yeah, if I'll take you out. And he had a great time. He had a great time playing with the big boys.
So do they pitch at that point?
They do. They pitch. The rule there is they did regular pitching, but if you get walked, your coach comes in and soft toss to you.
Gotcha. So that everyone gets a chance to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you strike out at that point or whatever, then you strike out, like you don't get the walk, but, I think that's the deal. But, yeah, so he came up, I came up his first at bat and I was pretty nervous, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, what are you gonna do? And, coach was pitching, the guy I play with, he's pitching, but the older kids, he's throwing them in there good. And then some of the younger kids who aren't that good, he stands up and kind of lobs muffins underhand, right?
Sure.
So you know, my son came up first at bat and he's like, I didn't know what to do. So I just threw him a fastball. I was like, yeah, don't worry about it. But he roped it up the middle for a single. So I was just a weepy mess. I was just crying.
Oh, wow.
Not really, but I on the inside a little bit.
Okay.
So anyways, so I think I thought, okay, well, maybe he'll play T-ball and do this. No, he's just doing that. He's like, I don't want to play T-ball anymore, Dad. I'm moving up.
So does that mean you still have to coach or no?
Yeah, a little bit. I helped out with his team. Like, and so my plan was I'll help coach his team because they could always use more coaches, but I don't want to collapse the T-ball program. So I feel bad. I'm like, oh no. Do I have to do both?
Yeah.
Hold on a sec. Yeah. Oh, she forgot I was podcasting. My wife forgot I came in.
Easy to forget. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she figured we're just doing another dry run.
Yeah. That's on me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, camera stuff, man.
Sure.
Let's talk a little camera stuff before we get too out of hand here.
All right. You're sort of like leading into it last week that there is this, you know, new camera. I haven't read
or seen.
We're going to
talk more about it next week. Next week, we're going to talk about it.
So camera stuff not related to gear.
It is. I mean, I'll give you, obviously, what you're referring to is Canon released their latest mirrorless giant killers, really. Like, holy cow, the R5 and the R6, on paper at least. The R5 is an unbelievable camera. Like, just out of this world.
Okay. What's the sticker price?
The sticker price, everyone's saying, it's expensive. It's like, I forget what it is in the States. I think it's like $3,500 in the States.
In the States, yeah.
Canada, I'm thinking Canada, I'm going to say it's like $4,300 probably for just the body.
Yeah.
Which is expensive camera, like no question. But when you start to kind of look back on historically, like what I paid for my Canon XL1 in 1999, a standard definition records to tape, you know, you could take the lens off, but there's no interchangeable lenses, really. There's no options for it. I think I paid $5,500 bare bones and had to, you know, buy a couple of add-ons. And so walked out of there probably around $6,500,
$6,800. Wow.
Great camera. Like, I love that camera. It did a great job. Standard definition, it looked great. But when you compare what the R5 will do, I mean, they released an 8K camera, 8K video camera. That's about 5Ks more than you actually ever will need. However, they did it. Now, are there issues? Looks like it. Looks like there's going to be a massive heat issue, which means like you can shoot for 20 minutes and then shut her down for half an hour and then shoot for 20 minutes, etc. At 8K.
Okay.
That is ungood. Depends what you're shooting. If you're shooting a feature film, then that's not a problem. You typically don't do that unless you're, what's his name there? Do that, Kubrick. So they also released an R6, which is a lower model, which for our 2400 US, so a little bit more, probably around 2800 in Canada, which is quite awesome. Doesn't do 8K, but I don't need 8K. So I'm not sure of the overheating on that. It's pretty much going to be, it is a game changer. I was looking at the Fuji, at going to the X-T4.
Okay.
And ditching everything. So I've watched a bunch of videos about it. They are pretty outstanding. There's a few issues I think I'm going to have that I have to kind of deal with and see like how the rolling shutter is going to work. So I think I need another week to go into great detail. So let's go into detail about that next week.
Okay. And this is, you're talking, these cameras are primarily for filmmaking purposes.
They're mirrorless still cameras,
or I should say movie making versus film, because it's not film.
Right. I guess. Yeah, they are geared. I want something that is going to be a movie camera first, but can shoot excellent stills, and that's kind of like the Fuji does that, and these Canon R5 R6 definitely do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not having a mirror is a big deal as well.
Okay.
I
was going to say, like, would a professional photographer, someone who wasn't interested in the movie capabilities at all, would they be in the market for this camera for the new Canons or for the Fuji?
I think so.
Okay.
It's hard to say because, I mean, obviously, you know, people talk, oh, I don't know, but I don't want to shoot mirrorless. I like to be able to, you know, look through and see, and I do too, but as we talked about on the show, the top, when, you know, this is our second go around on the show this week because you had a technical error.
Mm-hmm.
And that arose due to a, you know, one extra point of contact, one extra spot where things can break down, and that's the mirror. Like, the mirror can, doesn't always have to, but the mirror can be a problem. I mean, it, you know, does it mess up your autofocus? It could if something goes out of alignment. It's one more thing to align, which for the most part, like, you're probably never going to notice it. You tend to not drop your cameras or whatever it is, but less is more, is my opinion.
Okay.
Now, there's downsides to that, to actually shooting mirrorless. I don't know if I necessarily would love to do it, but when you shoot with your X100, what do you use for the viewfinder? Do you use the I don't know how to describe it. Do you use the heads up display, like the EVF?
Yes.
Yeah, same. I didn't think I would. I thought I would just go with the regular viewfinder and then just go. I do not. I love shooting with the EVF mode. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. I mean, battery life maybe, but it, in general, I mean, the specs are outstanding. Like, for they're claiming 12 frames per second mechanical shutter and 20 frames per second burst on electronic shutter, which is amazing. Like, I don't even, like, I shoot 8 frames per second electronic on our X100, and I find that to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot. So 20 frames, I mean, you're talking about doing sports. If you're going to go and shoot on the with electronic shutter and blast off 20 frames a second, you're going to get some amazing shots. So I do think there's a market there. I guess we're still going to have to see a lot of what's to come, because they haven't shipped yet.
Okay.
So, Apple TV. Do you have, like, not the actual physical thing, but like the streaming service? Do you know it?
I don't use it. I know what it is, but I don't use it.
Right. So I signed up. You can get a free week if you sign up now.
Okay.
I recommend doing it for one reason only, is they have the movie Greyhound, the Tom Hanks submarine/Navy movie.
Okay.
You have not heard of it, have you?
No, never heard of it. Yeah.
So I was,
I know, jazzed. The bus. Yeah. There's
a, yeah, great... it's about a Greyhound bus. That's what it's about. No, it's about getting convoy ships across the North Atlantic in the early days, 1942 of the war. And being picked off by the German Wolfpack submarines.
Okay.
So it's a pretty amazing movie, and I'd seen the trailers. I was eager to see it in the theaters, and then, of course, the COVID happened and no theaters, but Apple TV picked it up. And so, good news. I wish I'd seen it in the theater, but good news is you can sign up for a week for free, and it's on there. You can check it out. I highly recommend it. I can't say I'm going to extend my membership past the week. Looking around Apple TV, I don't see tons of stuff I want to watch. Like, they have other things, but you end up renting things from it. But I thought that's what you pay the streaming service. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not good at it. But can't say I'm going to stick around.
Okay.
Check out Greyhound, though. The cinematography is awesome. Watch it, but just for the colors, too. I mean, the whole sound design is outstanding. Really, really great. But... photography wise, the colors, the muted colors, except for the blues and the oranges, with which they mix blues and oranges the entire movie. Like, they're out there at night and ships are getting blown up, spoiler alert. And it is, wow, does the color palette look amazing.
Cool.
Reminder, monthly challenge for this month is July. For July is summer. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both. And tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that at the end of the month. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No. Once again, no. I've been very, 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 very busy, and so the camera has not made it out of the bag other than to get my my photo challenge done. So I don't see in the foreseeable future when I'm going to take many more photos, just because I feel like I've overbooked myself, overextended myself in a number of ways, but maybe September. Maybe September there'll be more photos. Maybe in August. I'd like to say August, but I'm not sure about that either.
If you go to the lake, if you get a weekend away at the lake.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm going to try to do that. And there'll be a long weekend in August. So yeah, that's I'm going to target my photos for the August long weekend.
Okay. All right. Well, then at the end of the show today, when we do the weekly challenge for next week, I'll let you pick. That way you can pick something that's going to be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that will be.
That's why I'm leaving it up to you. You have a few minutes to figure that out.
So all right.
You think about that as well as watch the levels on your recording. And
they're still working. Distracted. Yeah, they're working.
Yeah. As I said, we had a baseball again. So on the weekend, last weekend, we had an exhibition game against, there's a high school team, American high school team, that plays on one of the military bases near us, near Stuttgart. And okay. So their season got canceled. They play other U.S. military installations all around Germany. So their season got canceled entirely. So they came out and played. I opted not to play on Saturday. Turns out at 46, I don't need to be playing against 16-year-olds. Okay. Kind of weird. So I just snapped a few photos, and so just threw a couple of moments in there. One, first one is that's our new coach, new player coach. He really got a hold of one, banged it off the left center field wall. You can see him squaring it up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, not as nice of a swing, obviously, but you can see I got right at the exact point of contact.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, little bit of flex in the bat even too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which sucks. I actually hate those bats. Those are the composite bats. I don't know if you know what those are.
Yep.
Because your kids still use the metal, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, we
actually use wood, no obviously. Ours are, yeah. By metal you mean the composite ones? Yeah.
No.
Ours aren't like aluminum or anything. They're these whatever they're made out of. I don't know.
But they're metal.
Well, kind of. I would have to look at what the breakdown is. They're a weird kind of composite. Yeah, I would say not.
Okay,
not
so when enough. I say composite, I mean like, so in the first picture, the guy swinging, that's full on wood. He swings an ash.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah,
The second one is a fake wood bat. Like, so it has all the characteristics of wood. There's like a veneer around it, but it's stuffed with something else. And the idea being that it doesn't break.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it behaves like a wood bat. Sort of. It doesn't break. It actually does. It won't snap off at the handle. But like, you know, you can break the barrel like over time, over a couple of years, it'll peel. But so those are called bomb bats, BAUM. I don't know how to call it bomb, even though it's a German name, it's Baum. But those are bomb bats. So I actually hate them because they don't have the flex, but in this photo seems to have the flex. Then went to the Freibad as well a couple of times. So I got a couple of what I think consider to be nice photos. There's one of my son just smiling it up.
Yep.
Just great light. I love the way the light was. This was a terrible time of day, but because the light is bouncing off the water and off the little metal pool edge, it kind of lights up his face. And so I snapped one of those. And then a different day. That was the other Freibad we'd never been to before. And then a couple, him going off the high diving board. I kind of got, I like the one from behind where there's like a different angle where he's jumping out in the sky.
That looks cool. Yeah.
And then, later in the day, as the sun sort of going down behind some trees, it still lights up the background and the lap pool out there. There's a pool where you can see the guy with his arm up swimming laps. That stays lit, very well lit but the diving boards go into shade. So you get that kind of cool, almost silhouette effect of my son going off the 3 meter board there.
Yeah, nice. I like it.
Oh, and then lastly, there was soccer. And so we had, it's the second week of soccer. Soccer's going again. And so I got a shot of him scoring a goal.
Sweet.
There you go. All these shot with the 40D, which again, like after everything, it's like my go-to camera right at this point. I don't know. It's weird.
The beater.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like the thing
you're
is
at the pool, though. You're at the pool for a lot of those.
The pool. Yeah. The pool is the beater with the 30 mil, but the soccer, I was just like, you know what? I cannot miss focus on the 40D. It never misses focus ever. And my 5D Mark III, I'm getting 80% on it. So I know it's not user error. I know it's something in the camera. They got too much stuff jammed in there, and I don't know. But the 40D, I do not miss. I don't miss focus, and therefore I was like, you know what? I'm throwing the 70 to 200. The lens that I dropped yet still works on the inside, not the outside. Still works. Autofocus still works, and it does not miss. So. There we go.
Yeah, nice.
I'm going back to 2007 when life was simple. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think we should all go back to 2007.
I think so. All right. Photo challenge is perspective. That was the photo challenge this week. So let's have a look at yours.
There you have the perspective of
a seagull.
Yeah, we are down at Gary Point and just going for a walk, and I brought my camera thinking it was a nice time of day that I was going to snap. So evening walk with my wife, nice time to try to snap a photo. And I had no clue as to what I was going to shoot. But as I was walking around Gary Point, they have these sort of shipping containers that are just off over by the pier. And so I thought, place that, you know, I would have normally never looked to take a shot, but I was trying to get something that was from an angle I wouldn't usually shoot or a perspective I wouldn't usually shoot. And so I saw, you know, some seagulls kind of landing and taking off from this big sort of weird container. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. And it contrasted. It was a beautiful, you know, blue sky evening. I thought, oh, that's kind of a neat perspective. So I just shot almost straight up. And you know, it's interesting to see how the lines all kind of converge from this weird angle. So I'm trying to shoot with the left edge of the container to be a straight line, but then you get all these kind of angular lines at the same time. And so I just kind of, you know, more or less a rule of third shot where I tried to put the subject, the pigeon in that sort of left side of the frame.
Is that a pigeon?
Or seagull, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, I just thought it was kind of looking down and a few seconds later it flew away and was replaced by another one, but I just kind of liked the angle of its head and I liked the look of the container contrasted with the sky and just all the interesting lines. It's kind of an unusual angle, but then somehow very symmetrical at the same time. So I like,
you want to know what's funny though?
What?
When I spit out the challenge last week and said perspective, I actually meant leading lines.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not joking. And you'll see in my picture, I did the exact same thing. So like afterwards I thought, perspective, what does that mean? Like, I knew what I meant, but then I was like, I meant leading lines. And I wish I'd said something at the time, but you nailed it. So I assume this is perspective really, but better leading lines anyways.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think what really makes this is, first of all, I surprise. Now, this is something that you're going to ignore entirely. Do not underestimate the sound of the seagull. I'm not joking. I miss it tremendously.
Okay.
Having grown up on the coast and, you know, they're just everywhere. They're ubiquitous, I think is the cool word to say. And is that what ubiquitous means? I don't actually know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it means perspective. So they're everywhere, and so you know you never don't like you stop hearing them because they're just always there.
Right.
And then I moved to, you know, in the middle of Germany, no seagulls here. And
that's bad.
I miss the sound. I miss the sound of this because it ties in with the smell of the ocean and right. all that too, which I miss tremendously. Which, you know, had this COVID not happened, I'd be at Stanley Park in 2 weeks from now, but not gonna happen. 2021, baby. Do it then.
Okay.
Hopefully. So anyways, great. And also what makes this too is the complete blue sky in behind, the cloudless sky.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it would be fine if there was a few clouds. It would still be fine. You'd still be able to pick out that seagull, but it definitely really makes you, all those lines lead up right to it, and blammo, there he is. Now, do you think he's going to show his friends this photo?
Maybe. I think so. I think he's a listener.
He's obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan Livingston. Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Great. Well done. You got the little urban kind of decay there, or not even decay, but just the... Hey, get a power washer. You can fix
it. Yeah, that. Yeah. But although I think I like it better because it is kind of, weird and greeny and slimy and all that.
Yeah. Camera?
That's the X100.
X1. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why? If you're going for, I should have known. You said going for a walk with your wife. What else you're bringing?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Awesome. All right. So here's mine. Leading lines again.
Yeah. Let's see. I like it. I like the. I love the leading lines here.
All right. Well, this is the 40D 30 mil.
Okay. So your son is doing a forward flip off of the diving board.
He is.
And so you probably needed a few takes at this to try to get him in the center, because you've got sort of like that, you know, the railing from the diving board as you walk out to the end, and you're trying to frame mm-hmm. him in the middle of that as he kind of yep. does the forward flip and comes down. So yeah, that's one that probably needed a few takes, but I like it. It looks good.
One and done, this one.
Oh, really?
I mean, in theory. Now, what I did do is even though the depth of field is huge here, which you kind of have to do because he is moving, he's flipping forward. So you got to leave yourself some wiggle room. But with that particular camera and lens, it ends up a lot. Like I wish that background was out of focus more, but it's just not feasible to do with right. this setup. And so I wanted to nail focus. So what I did was my daughter had jumped off just before him. So I used her to get focus and then was just held it like a focus trap.
Yeah.
And then waited till he went. And he nailed it first try. I didn't even tell him I needed him to go in the middle. He just did it. And what I'm actually most proud of him here is my son's 6 years old. So about an hour before this, he started doing flips off the board for the first time in almost a year, right? Mm-hmm. And he did four like magnificent flips. And then number five, he did a half a flip. And boy, like you must have heard the splash in Canada. Like he hit the water hard and came out crying. Just, it was like just a mess. And I thought, oh no, he's done. But I'm the kind of dad who just forces him to go out back and keep doing it.
right.
If he wipes out, you have to go back and at least one more so that you don't walk out of there that day remembering that you wiped out. You remember right. your last one, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He did it again, and then he was fine. He's fine. So he kept going again, and then I got this shot. So, no, I knew I wanted to get the railings in to sort of guide it towards. I tried this shot in black and white, but it just doesn't work because you end up losing him in the background, because this is a really, really, really busy background.
Yeah.
That there's not much you can do about it. That's it. That's what it is. I mean, but on the left-hand side, way over, you can see they have that, like the little shower there. There's a garbage can on the right side, which I could have probably, used the content aware fill, but I didn't, I didn't feel like it. And that big silver water slide in the background is nothing to look at really. And, but in general, hopefully, in color, you can see him and not focus in black and white. He's just gone.
Right.
So there you go.
Nice.
All right. Now the topic. Now we were going to talk about something, but I'm going to be honest. Do you have 10 minutes or don't you?
Okay. I can do 10 minutes.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about value.
Okay.
Well, the value, how you value yourself, the cost. And so you, I think you know some of these people. This is an insult, by the way. So I don't, this isn't you, but you do know some people who know the cost of everything, but the value of nothing.
Sure.
Like, if they cut, like, they know how, oh, I don't know how much that costs, or I know how much, you know, I, oh yeah, that, that TV is this much or this, but they don't really know the value of things. And so last week, a couple of weeks ago or something, I was meeting my buddy and his girlfriend, and she had just finished, her PhD a few months ago and had a job, but now she's looking for a new job.
Okay. Yeah.
And so while she was out interviewing, basically she's going to like a third interview for this one job, but she wants the job. And they asked her, okay, so, you know, what are your salary expectations? What a horrible thing to ask.
Okay.
But that's real life. I don't know. Is that when you went to your new job, did they ask you, hey, how much money do you need? Or did they say, hey, we're paying this?
No, they asked me what, I mean, I think it's more a question of to see whether or not it aligns, right? Like, so, you right. know, so yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was asked.
So how did you know? Because here's what the thing is. So she's quite a bit younger. She's 29. And so she told me her salary expectations were. And I immediately, not knowing anything, I was like, wow, that is really low. Like, you have a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't get a PhD overnight. It's really hard work to do. And so I told her, I said, I think you've undervalued yourself, which is advice I'm great at giving and not doing myself.
Right.
So where do you assign value? Like, how do you go about assigning value? How did you know what to tell them? Because obviously the answer is always the absolute most you'll pay. That's my salary.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is, you know, knowing your industry. And so that probably then your experience. And I think, you know, there's always probably a little bit of wiggle room on top of that. But I think you have to know your industry and what the going rate is for services and then where you fit into that spectrum based on your experience and what other assets you bring to the table, like what the demand is for your position, like can they easily fill it or not? So there's so many variables in that, you know, and at one time in the year, your value might be higher to the employer and at another it isn't. So there's so many factors going on right now in our world as far as jobs that it gets a little bit, the waters get a little bit more muddy, but I think you just have to know, have a sense of what your industry is and what your value within that industry is.
So how has YouTube affected your industry specifically?
Not really. I can't say
like people can't go on and find exercises on YouTube.
Sure, they can. Absolutely, they can. But in terms of there's still a large demand for people who want, you know, hands-on treatment, right? So they want to come in, right. They want to be assessed by a professional. I'm not saying that a lot of people haven't for years and years and years try to self-diagnose and look up exercises. And if you're bang on with your diagnosis and you can fit the right exercises and that's all you need, those are people we'd never see in the first place. So it's hard to right. know. There's still enough demand for people who want to come in and either they're referred by their doctor or they come directly because they want to be assessed by a professional. So that, yeah, it's hard to know because it really hasn't changed in the 16 years that I've been working as a physiotherapist. It really hasn't changed. The demand has always been there.
Now, remember that in where you are, it's not, I don't remember, like I haven't been to physio in a long, long time. And that's sort of a weird medical thing. It's not like it's, oh yeah, physio is free necessarily.
No,
some plans will cover maybe 12 per year or some will copay or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's rare that people just, I wouldn't say rare, but it doesn't happen that often, I guess. That's what rare means, that you just pay out of your pocket every time. It's not like someone comes in off the street and says, well, yeah, like I got to pay you $150. I'm just going to come 3 times a week. Done.
Yeah. No, I think there are definitely people who pay entirely out of pocket. But that would not be the majority by any means. And I mean, it's always, some of those patients will still come because, you know, they see a value in getting assessed by a professional. Now they might only come a couple times because again, they can't afford, you know, to come on a regular basis as it might be they would like to if they had the resources, but they'll still come. They still see a value on getting assessed and at least getting some treatment or suggestions, education, whatnot, to just get them going in the right direction. And then they'll take it from there. So yeah, I think that that there's a lot of patients that still see value in working with a professional.
So there's a photography component to this, of course. And so while I was talking to my PhD friend, her boyfriend was using her iPhone 11 and snapping photos of her.
Right.
And the photos were amazing. Like, he's showing me the pictures he's taking, like, in real time. I'm like, yeah, that's outstanding. And so in my humble opinion, now an iPhone, they are fantastic now. They do an amazing job. However, I would submit that they basically get you 50% there. There's a lot they can't do. Even with the different lenses and the ones that have the three lenses on them or whatever, it's still not the same. Or they have the portrait mode, which does the algorithm to blur the background, that kind of thing, right? Yeah. I would submit that, you know, rough estimate, gets you 50% there. So if you're just want to take, like, first of all, it's 1,000 times better than the pictures your mom was taking 10 years ago.
Right.
So obviously that's doing better, but when compared to a professional photographer coming out and following you around, you're halfway there with these new iPhones. So do you still want to hire a photographer? Well, yeah, I think you do, because there's that other 50%,
right,
to get you up to 100%. Now, here's the thing. A semi-competent photographer with semi-decent equipment, in my opinion, will get you 80% of the way to good photos.
Okay.
What do you agree or disagree?
No, I think that I would agree with that.
So for very little money, very little investment, I mean, for example, for about $400 used on Craigslist and listening to our free podcast, you could get to 80% of a high value pro, I think.
I think so too, yeah.
How much value? So therefore you're going to get that guy to come out and shoot for you. It's going to cost you, you know, $50. Why are you going to spend $3,000-$4,000 to get that last 20%? How do you assign value to that last 20%?
That's a very good question. I don't have a simple answer.
It's a difficult question.
Yeah. No, it's a good question, but I have no answer. Yeah.
See, I flip it around and think, okay, what about when I'm buying a camera? Okay. Or anything. When I'm buying let's say I'm buying running shoes, to keep this simple. We've all heard of the sunk cost fallacy. We're like, well, I've already dumped, you know, $300 into this project. What's another 100? Like, maybe you should just, you know, cut that one off and start again. So there's that sunk cost. However, but when you're going to buy running shoes, like, you've decided you need running shoes, and you get the shoes that you want are $150, and you think, that's too much. I don't want to spend $150 for running shoes. Okay. I think I'd like to spend $100. So you spend $100 and you get, they're fine. They work. They wear out a little bit fast, and you get a blister on there on your right foot every second time you run, but they're good. Why didn't you buy the 150? Like, did those 150 cost you 150? Or were you going to pay 50 for good ones?
Right.
You see the difference?
Yeah. Yep.
So in that situation, I have learned later in life, I was never the crazy buy the cheapest one possible. I knew better. But I didn't need to get the Gucci everything. What does Gucci, is Gucci still a thing? I have no idea.
Yeah, I think so, but I don't have anything.
I have friends who were like, well, your brother-in-law, his big move was like he would buy the $30 Doc Marten knockoff boots, and then 10 days later buy another pair of $30 knockoff boots because he blew them out.
Right.
And guess what? In 10 days, guess what happened again? Like, it kept, he would keep doing it, but because he's like, I'm not paying $90 for shoes. Turns out you are.
Right.
So when it comes to, I generally buy things in the middle. I don't need a brand name specifically, aside from the fact that it's a quality assurance. Like, oftentimes if you know, you know, Canon or whomever's for the most part is going to bring the quality. They have a reputation. But I don't need to buy, you know, I can buy a Canon. I don't need a Leica.
Right.
I would like one. So on the flip side, when you're valuing yourself, here's the issue I have. And I guess you probably don't have it in the physiotherapy world, but when I'm trying to assign value to my work, I cannot imagine, like, I would never pay someone to take pictures. I mean, I would if I had to, but it's like, if just in general, I think, oh yeah, I'm going to hire someone to come out and shoot our baseball. Well, no, I'm going to shoot those pictures.
Right.
So why would I pay someone to do something that I can do myself? Even if I'm not going to do it, I can do it. Hence, my illogical leap is, why would anybody pay me? Like, what? It's a stupid argument, but this happens in my head when something like for photography, I'm like, why? I'm not paying anybody for that. Why would anybody else pay? That'd be stupid.
And therefore, you undervalue what your time would be worth?
Always. I constantly undervalue myself.
Right.
I think. I'm trying to do a better job. This isn't, oh, poor me. This is, hey, you should, like, I'm doing a lot much better job of it now because I'm just not doing any work. I price high on some things, and just if I get it, great. If I don't, I don't. I don't really care anymore. But you kind of have to establish what is your time worth, but not just what is your time worth, but when you're selling something or buying something or working or whatever it is. And when it comes to buying or selling, tell me how you feel about this. I don't like to really haggle on things.
No,
I don't like to. I don't like to go and look around though either. Like, I don't like to go and
me either.
Yeah. Like, okay, good. It's this. And yeah, you know what? This TV is $380 here, but 15 miles away, it's $365. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Like, my time is worth way more than that. I'm just going to do it, pull the trigger, and move on.
Right. Agreed.
Okay. Now, the issue becoming when you're trying to work and establish your value, you have to figure out what is it that you offer.
Right.
Why would someone want to pay more? And that's kind of what I go for is I try to underpromise and overdeliver, but I try to make my clients understand what that money goes for, why you spent more. Because they think, oh, well, this guy over here, like, you charge $150 an hour. This guy charges $30 an hour. Why am I paying you? He did it in 2 hours. It cost me $60. You did it in only 20 minutes. Why am I paying you for the full hour? Why is that? Why would someone want to do that?
Why would they want to pay you for the full hour? I mean, I sort of get where you're going, but to me, it's all about, like, if we're going to talk about, you know, this is photography from a business standpoint, it really comes down to, are people willing to pay for your time? And if they are, you assign the value of what your time is worth, whatever that is, $100 an hour, whatever you feel like your time is worth. To me, because photography is just one small source of some income, I look at it like I have other sources of income. What is my time worth in everything? And it's still just time to me. So it's worth the same. Like, I'm going to put a value on what that time is worth, regardless of whether I'm doing
opportunity cost.
Strength and conditioning or physiotherapy or photography. It's just, this is now what an hour of my time's worth. And again, like yourself, if they say no to it, I don't care. Right. So,
yeah. Okay. But put yourself in the driver's seat here. So, like, let's say you're going to hire someone, to come out and shoot your daughter's graduation or whatever it is that you got going on.
Okay.
Okay. You want some photos. This is, you're not you right now. This is, you're a non-photographer.
Okay.
But you make money. Like, just because you make lots of money doesn't mean you want to huck money away.
Right.
You know, you do want to get value for that money. But, okay, so you're going to go hire someone. Now, you have an option of, say, you can hire me, the 2020 me, to come out.
Yeah.
Or you can hire end of 2011 Adam.
Okay.
So that's about, let's call it 9 months in or whatever it is, 9 months into the podcast, where you were starting to take really good pictures. However, there was a whole bunch of mistakes you hadn't made yet.
Right.
Okay. So now you're going to pay me $100 an hour, let's say. You're mm-hmm. going to pay 2011 Adam $25 an hour. Which guy are you looking to hire for your daughter's graduation?
Definitely paying the $100 an hour guy.
Okay. As am I. Because I look at that and think, well, yeah, this guy might get me 80%. He might. He probably will. He'll get me 60% of the way. But what is it that I want out of this?
Right.
Now, when you're paying me for whatever extra or anybody else, you're paying for all the mistakes I've already made. As we talked about a couple episodes ago, making mistakes, I have made those mistakes. I shall not make them again. So you're paying for that to be out of the way. You're paying me to be for my prep time, for the 15 years of prep I have done to get to this moment. You're funding that.
Right.
You're paying me to be fast and good. Now you look at the hourly rate. I'm going to do it in much less time and get it and turn it around on you and get it to you right away. Like, for example, I'm going to do a 3-light setup. I'm going to do it much faster than I would have 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You're paying for that time it took me to learn that. Totally worth it, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So, figure out how to maximize your time work pay ratio. There's diminishing returns. We were going to go into that, but I know we're bumping up against the time. So, hopefully, that kind of establishes how to establish your own value. Again, it's something I'm getting better at. I could do much better than I am. Despite my massive, massive ego, I still undervalue myself.
Yeah. And I think that's easy to do. It's much easier to do than overvaluing yourself, I think, for most people.
Possibly. I mean, also consider this, which I didn't even put a note in here. This entire metric is really shifting right this second because of what's happening with the economy and what's going to happen with the sort of echo effect of what's post-COVID. You know, people aren't going to have who's going to have a ton of, you know, extra discretionary funds to just huck at a photographer. So you're going to have to shift your value right. If you want to stay competitive. That's just the realistic situation. The market will dictate what you can charge. So, all right, govern yourself accordingly.
Okay.
Challenge for next week, Adam. Did you think about it?
No, I didn't.
What's going to help you? How can I help you?
Let's go something. Let's do food. We haven't done a food challenge. I don't feel like since the very first year of the podcast. People do it all the time. I see people's food photos all over the internet. Something I never do, but okay. I think I should try.
Okay, fine.
Well, you don't like it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm trying to think if I can do anything visually. What do I cook that's visually interesting?
You got to make it interesting.
I'll do it. I'll do something interesting.
I can definitely. Prawns. I'm going to eat between now and next week, so I can almost guarantee I can pull this challenge out.
Cheerios.
All right,
we'll do that. Next week is food. Monthly challenge for July is summer. Hashtag that, Two Hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hit Two Hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that at the end of the month. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And Instagram. Check out Adam's Instagram. Oh, He's not posting anything.
I should be doing something with that again, too. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that.
People should start chirping you on there, I think.
Yeah, I kind of went on it like 3 times, and then I was back off again, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Adam will go on there. Someone go on there and discourage him.
Okay.
Chirp the guy.
Yeah.
You can find me at alanatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.